Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Coaches Catch Up. Here's your host, Tom King.
Well, sometimes you've just got to save the best for last, and that's what we've done in this Coaches Countdown Catch-Up. He's one of my favourites to talk local footy with. He's been involved with the game for a heck of a long time, and he has another season in charge of the Winchelsea Football Club, and I do speak of Brendan Forsman, who has been good enough to join us in the K-Rock studios. Foss, it's been a long and winding road, the Coaches Countdown series, but we didn't do it alphabetically, but in the end, we've actually finished where you would actually sit in the alphabetical order of local clubs.
Yes, it's thanks for that nice pump-up, Kingy. Yeah, I think we've probably tried a couple of times to get this organised a bit earlier, and either one of us has had something else on, but here we are now.
Absolutely. We're time to talk about Winchelsea, and we look at 2019 as another season. Do you look back on, reflect on missed opportunity for your footy club, that you once again were competitive with the upper echelon but just couldn't make those breakthroughs that you needed?
Yeah, in 2018 and 19 we've had really similar seasons in that we've had really strong first halves and then really just failed to capitalise on that opportunity that we gave ourselves both times. So some of that comes down to maturity and just understanding, you know, those certain times in games where we have to do certain things. We were disappointed that we didn't get on last year because, you know, we've got 40 to 60 games in a lot of our young kids now, and now we're just starting to understand what works for them and what works for us as a group as well. So yeah, hopefully we can at least go another step closer this year.
How was the shutdown for Winchelsea Footy Club and keeping your players connected, and how have they come back? Have they come back engaged and ready to play footy?
Yeah, the shutdown, to be honest, we probably let them have their own space for quite a few months. I mean, we were still in contact a little bit, but not overbearing. So once we knew the season wasn't going ahead, we just kind of let them go about their own business. And to be honest, you know, I wish I could sit here and say that we had 40 plus on the track for the first night that we got back, but pre-Christmas and just after Christmas, we probably averaged sort of 25 on the track most nights. And the last few weeks, you know, we're getting that 35 plus, which you'd obviously desire all the time. But yeah, so some boys are jumping out of their skin to get back into it. And obviously others, you know, were a little bit hesitant to get back and jump right in. And we're probably a little bit behind where we'd like to be at the moment, heading into round one in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, once the season gets up and going, then I think we'll be all right.
What's pre-season involved for the Blues?
Just a lot of ball stuff. We don't, or personally as a coach, I don't really get the boys doing running without the footies. So we have some boys with the GPSs on, and we cover a certain number of Ks each session, but generally with ball in hand. So we haven't done a lot of structure stuff. We've had over, I think we've had 57 or 58 guys at training, but never all at the same time. So that's made it a bit difficult to cover off on structure stuff. And I say to the boys all the time that, you know, I don't want to have to explain this five or six times because, you know, we haven't got enough here. So that's one of the things that we're going to round one, maybe a little bit behind, but the stuff that we want to do and the way we want to organise ourselves is pretty simple. So, you know, it won't take long to catch up.
Yep. Do you have a few involved in cricket that you have to wait to get back?
No, we didn't. We had maybe two or three that were playing in the B grade at Winchelsea that made the semi-final. There was no one in the A grade that made the grand final. And most of the boys had been training anyway, at least one night a week. So, yeah, that wasn't an issue.
Yep. You've had plenty of hit-outs practice match-wise, three hit-outs. And I suspect after a year off, and I've said this to a couple of coaches, that three hit-outs is a good number to get the boys back ticking the legs over and be ready to hit the ground running come round one.
Yeah, I think so. We've played Birri, Colac Imps and Apollo Bay. And it's been nice to play at Winch for a couple of those, which we haven't had that opportunity since I've been at the club. And we've done all right. We've practice matches are hard to gauge because you don't know who's in for the opposition, and we've had a few out as well. But just to get that physical contact back, I mean, you can do it at training all you like, but once you come up against a proper opposition, it's a bit different. So, the practice matches have been good. We've given some guys some opportunities and had a look at them in various positions and roles. So we're probably more so focused on our, you know, potentially number 15 player to number 30 player to see where they all fit. So, and we think we've got a better understanding of that now heading into the season.
For your heavy involvement in sport and numerous sports over the journey, but especially football and your coaching, was a year off not the worst thing for Brendan Forsman to just sit back, relax and not have to worry about the week-to-week of being a coach?
Yeah, I wish I could say I could sit back and relax because I'm a courier, and with the lockdown, there's obviously more people working from home and there was a lot more online shopping going on. So we were actually flat out for 6 months with our deliveries. But yeah, as far as the footy stuff went, yeah, it was nice to sort of take a little step back for a little while and just recharge the batteries again.
Okay. Does that then change your focus on the future with your footy, or will 2021 be it for you? Have you spoken to the club about that yet?
Yeah, I've always said with Dogs, our president, you know, he can just tap me on the shoulder at any time if he's got somebody else who's interested in having a crack at it, and that won't change this year either. We just have a handshake agreement. So, I'm under no illusions that this will be my fifth year at Winch. Obviously, we've missed a year, but you know, I've done the 5 pre-seasons and the boys are probably sick of hearing my voice. And we've been fortunate in the last week to get Christian Shaw on board, Butch, who's obviously got a really decorated, you know, senior footy career and some great coaching credentials as well. And he's come on full-time as our senior assistant coach. So, we look forward to working with him. And it'll just be a nice freshener for the boys to have a different voice involved as well.
Is that a potential succession plan?
Could be, yeah. Yeah, well, I've actually mentioned that to Butch. He works in Melbourne a little bit as well. So, down the track, who knows what might happen there, Kingy. But, that has been discussed already. So,
okay. Has he been in front of the group, and have you had to explain to your group how good a footballer Christian Shaw was and how decorated he is, or did some of the boys get an idea of who it was and what he'd done?
He hasn't been in front of the group yet. He was unavailable last week. So tomorrow night will be the first night that he'll join us in person. I did do a bit of a bio and in the message that I sent out saying, you know, he's a 5-time premiership player.
Would it read like War and Peace?
It was crazy. and I reckon he left a fair bit out as well. Yeah. So, we're sort of good family friends. My sister-in-law and his wife are really close friends. Yep. So, you know, we've seen each other around a fair bit over the few years. And I just, I was actually doing a delivery to his house and he answered the door and I asked him if he was doing anything footy-wise and he said he wasn't this year. So, yeah, we were able to get him on board, which is great.
He's been up at St. Joseph's recently and
he's so
highly regarded at St. Joseph's. Do you know who they replaced him with, the Joeys?
I think Buddha Hocking might be there at the moment. Yeah.
that's how good Butch is. They had to go and get Buddha Hocking to replace him.
Yeah, no, I think we've got a good one, and it'll just be nice to have another set of eyes and some different things that he'll be able to provide for us.
That's a fantastic pickup. Talk about gun recruits. I know he's not going to play any footy for you, but what he knows about footy or what he doesn't know, you can write on the back of a postage stamp. So that's a wonderful pickup. Let's talk about your pickups on the field, and the big one that first came to light was late last year was Ethan Floyd, and were you able to get him back to one? Find out enough games to get him back to 1 point.
Oh, I'm assuming he'll be a 1-pointer. He played a massive chunk of his juniors at Winch, so as far as I know, the president's told me he's a 1-pointer. But even if he's not, I think our best team at the moment would currently sit at about 36, and I think we've got 44 points to play with. So that won't be an issue, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a 1-point player.
Okay, what's Campbell doing? Have you just inquired that if he gets a bit homesick over in WA, if he wants to come home, he's more than welcome to probably be on the opposite halfback flank?
Funnily enough, I've had those discussions, Kingy, but Campbell's going to have another year over in the West with Timmy House, and actually a couple of the boys who played with us a few years ago, Hamish Jannings and those guys, actually playing the same team over there as well, so there's a bit of a Winchelsea connection there. So, yeah, you never know. Maybe the following year, if Campbell returns, and he might want to play alongside Ethan again.
All right. Let's have a look at your others. Tom Henry from St. Mary's, part of the famous Henry brothers. While the other two might be on AFL lists, that doesn't say that Tom's not as talented. He's got some serious footballing ability, probably, though his athletics, I think, might have taken a bit more of a path he was down rather than his footy for a while there.
Yeah, from, I think, 16 to 22... Tom went as far as representing Australia, I think, in high jump, and then came back to footy in his early 20s. and was attending uni in Melbourne. He's now a primary school teacher, so he wasn't sort of playing while he was attending uni in Melbourne. And I happened to bump into Russell McMahon, who's, you know, got a lot to do with St Mary's, and said I was looking for that sort of, you know, tall, athletic, potential centre-half forward type. And Tommy was the first name that came off his lips, and I just gave him a call, and we had a coffee, and he hasn't missed a beat since. And as you know, the Henry family are just such a lovely family, and Tommy's a first-class fella, and yeah, he's going to fit in beautifully with us.
All right. Dustin Baker from Ship Swans, the media reports are that he walked off the street, Paul Meldrum style.
Yeah, not quite. Jared Windsor, who's come across from Grovedale, who sent me a message out of the blue, started training with us pre-season, and then halfway through pre-season said, oh, I've got a mate who might be keen to come down. So I said, yeah, no worries, bring him along. Didn't know who he was or what he'd done or where he'd played. But yeah, Dusty's been really good since he arrived at Winch. Got around the boys beautifully. He's a ripper fella, and yeah, he's played some senior footy at Shepparton and Swans, and I've contacted Andrew Reardon, who plays up there, who used to play at Grovedale. So yeah, from all reports, you know, Andrew's a big rat for him as well. So
Shep Swans is Daniel Lovick's old club.
Oh, right, okay.
He played in the premiership back in about 2013 or 14 before coming back to St Joseph's. Your best recruiting officers are your players, aren't they?
Well, yeah, you'd hope so. Yeah, I mean, I've probably made more phone calls this year than I have in my previous 4 years combined. We're struggling for a genuine ruckman with Blakey's retirement. So if you're a 6'6" bloke around Geelong who's looking for a kick or an opportunity, you know, potentially if you're playing reserves, JFL footy or something like that, then yeah, we're still probably a little bit undermanned in that area. So yeah, don't hesitate to get in touch.
Is that an area where you might play Tom Henry, considering he's got that ability to jump?
Well, we'd like to play Tom across centre half forward, and with Tom and Will Ford and Dave Tucker in our forward half, you know, one of those three guys is more than capable to ruck, you know, in that forward 50. But yeah, we don't really want to, you know, have to take them out of their first choice position to plug a hole. So yeah, we'll see how we go. We do have a fella, Liam Kenny, who will be very good for us in the ruck, but he's battling with a heel issue at the moment. So we've just got to wait and see how he pulls up in the next couple of weeks.
Brad McKenzie's done a little triangle between Belmont Lions, Torquay and Winchelsea over the journey, and the triangle brings him back to Winch.
Yeah, it does. I've known Macca for a long time. He helped us at Grovedale. He played a couple of years at Grovedale when Pete Rademey was coach, and he helped me coach the under-16s at that time. And he was only, he would have only been 19 himself, I reckon, at the time. So we've had a great relationship for 10-plus years, and yeah, he was keen to come back and have another crack, and he's fitted in beautifully, and his experience, you know, behind the footy will hold us in good stead, and he's played a couple of those practice matches with us already, and you can just see that, you know, he's still got the class that he had 10 years ago, and he might be a fraction slower, you know, running around, but yeah, he more than makes up for that in other areas.
Definitely one, if not two, GDFL teams of the year over the journey as a defender. Is that how you'll use him?
Yeah, we'll use him either as a high or a deep defender. You know, that'll be up to him, and we'll just get best matchups on the day.
A couple of others you've added, or three others you've added, Tim Jansen from Carisbrook, I think they're Central Highlands League, Jake Stevenson from Grovedale, and Graham Younger from Balan, which is definitely the Central Highlands League. They all add something to your list.
Yeah, they do. So we'll start with Graham. He's a bit of a rangy type, 6'2", will play across half back. Really nice foot skills, good mover, loves to go for a big hang. So if he pulls one or two of them off during the year, you'll get a couple of good highlights. Timmy Jansen's a fella who couldn't play anywhere. And to be honest, he's battling a hamstring injury at the moment, so we haven't been able to see where he best fits in the practice matches. And Jake Stevenson will most likely play around that wing half forward area and potential some time in the midfield as well. Left footer, won some best and fairest as a junior at Grovedale, and then basically hasn't played footy for the last few years and decided to pull the boots back on. I reckon he's about 23 years old, so or maybe a bit younger. So yeah, we look forward to him getting back into the swing of it again as well.
And you've tapped into that pipeline down Colac Road, haven't you, from Burdoo Reserve over the journey?
Not
deliberately.
No, and I haven't gone full bore either, Kingy. I could have done a lot worse, but yeah, obviously, you know, I've had contacts along the way, especially with all of my junior footy coaching over the last 12 or so years. So, yeah, sometimes others knock on my door. I don't even need to knock on theirs.
All right, departures. Mark Blake, we knew, wasn't going to play in 2020, and he does leave you with that massive hole in the ruck. Your other outs, a couple of retirements. Matty Warland won the Two's League Best and Fairest, but was still a very good senior footballer in 2019. He's done. Josh Carricker has also pulled a pin. Is he definitely done?
Yeah, all three of those boys I've been in touch with just to make sure that they're 100%.
And then you bring them again to make sure they're 110.
Yeah, no, I've done that a few times. But they've been Crackers and Waller have been fantastic servants of the Winchelsea Footy Club. I reckon Crackers has probably played close to 400 senior games, so he deserves to enjoy retirement. And Warlow has been brilliant for me. He was one of the first guys I spoke to after I was appointed 5 years ago, and he's had my back ever since. So he's been brilliant, and obviously Blakey, I think he's turning 36 or something this year. So and like I said, he's had an amazing career. And we wish him all the best, you know, in his retirement. He's got a young baby as well, so, yeah, we can't argue with that.
Joey Famer has gone to Bannockburn, which makes for an enticing round one clash. The rolling draw has set up the mouth-watering little tete-a-tete under lights at Victoria Park.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the reigning premiers under lights away while they're unfurling their premiership flag. So, yeah, we can't ask for a bigger game than that.
And with a former player lining up for the
opposition.
With
a former player lining up, but I love Joey and he knows that. So we've been friends for a long time and he was looking for something a little bit different. And he's keen to get into the coaching side of things. So there was an opportunity there at Bannockburn and he's grabbed that with two hands and I hope he makes a good run of it.
All right, you've lost a couple to Queensland, including Baden Ramos, who polled well in your BNF in 2019, Caleb Brown as well. Baden Ramos, former Falcon.
Yes, yeah, Baden had a great year with us in 2019 after a couple of injury-riddled years at St Mary's. Finished runner-up, equal runner-up in our best and fairest with Blakey behind Lee Ellis. He's got some work up in Queensland. I think he let me know late last year and he left early March this year. And Caleb, a little bit similar. I think Caleb went up there, though, earlier in maybe November. Hmm. And we were going to play Caleb as a mobile ruckman. So, so that's kind of put us behind the eight ball with our big man search. But, we're still on the hunt.
All right, and Tavai Sawney has been to Newtown before to have a crack, has come back to Winch and now going back to have another go at GFL level.
Yeah, he is, and from all reports, he's doing really well. He's definitely got the skill set to play at that higher level. So, we wish Tavai well and all those boys that are, we're happy to let them have that opportunity to play at a higher level and they're always welcome back, down the track. Once they see fit that, they'd potentially like to drop back a level again. So,
One or a number of players that have impressed on the track, anybody that's put their hand up to be there in the senior side in round one that might not necessarily at the start of pre-season been in your thoughts of the 22 that you'd field?
Ethan Floyd's definitely set the way at training and the way he goes about it. So that's, and we kind of knew that would be the case, but he's brought a few boys along with him, which has been fantastic. Probably one a little bit from left field is Andy Bordovalis. So Michael has played a lot of senior footy, his brother, but Andrew just does all the right things. And he was probably a little bit off it in 2019, but he's one who's definitely now putting his hand up for selection. So whether that's in round one or not, it will still be decided, but he'll definitely get senior opportunities this season.
Is there a fine line there that you want to reward blokes who have worked their backsides off?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
But also then, you've got to pick your best 22, but there might be a bloke who's 23 to 27, but you go, he was nowhere or was off the pace at the start of pre-season, worked his butt off and, he deserves to be there at, might be 2 o'clock because you're a night game, but senior side.
Yeah, for sure. And there's probably two or three other boys in that same boat, in that same bracket, but... Yeah, like I said, he's one that just, when that opportunity becomes available to him, I'll be the first bloke to put his name on the board. So, he's not the most overly skilled player and he's the first to admit that, but he's always at training, first one there, last to leave, as the saying goes. But And he's just continually, you know, working on his craft. And he'd play as a small defender. So in the practice matches, he's had that opportunity and he's done a great job so far. So there's actually no reason for us not to pick him, which is great.
Well, we wish him luck. First two rounds away, as we alluded to, Bannockburn in round one, 7 o'clock, a flag unfurling by the Tigers, and then you'll try and take the 4 points off them, so you know, they can unfurl their flag all they want. But
that'd be lovely.
Yeah, four points coming back to win should be very handy. Then you're out to North Geelong and their wonderful new facility. I think you're the first club to play in it. I think they're out at Anarchy in round one, North Geelong. So
yeah, I actually contacted Aiden a few months ago to see if they wanted to play that as a standalone, maybe around Easter time, just to showcase the facilities. But yeah, they had a few other things going on, so that didn't eventuate.
Right, so new scoreboard, I think the lights are improved, and
yeah, no, it looks great.
Numerous other things. Roger Allen Terrace is looking magnificent as well, so you get a good facility there, and then you're back home for Werribee Centrals and Belmont Lions in a tricky opening month. So you get the preliminary finalist, a North Geelong team we expect to improve, and Belmont Lions we expect to improve under Bisso as well. It's you'll get a fair indication after four rounds.
Absolutely, and I'm sorry, Kingy, but I'm going to be really diplomatic and like the other 11 coaches that have been in here, mate. I just think ours is the most even competition in Geelong heading into this year. So, yeah, if you play well, you'll be a chance to win every week, and if you're not quite on your game, you'll be a chance to lose every week. So, and that's the... that's the scenario, I think, that most coaches and clubs will be taking into the season.
Leadership group locked away?
Yes, it is. So we had actually announced Will Ford as our senior captain in 2020 to the playing group about 3 days before the season got shut down. That was never announced publicly. So Fordy has never had that opportunity to run out as senior captain yet. You know, he's a terrific leader on field and off field. He's only a 22-year-old kid, but he's been our leading goal kicker the last couple of years. And so, yeah, I'm a man of my word, and I hope that he does a great job, and I know that he will. And he'll get opportunities probably this year to move up the ground a bit too and play some minutes in the midfield.
Because he's mobile.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'2". He's a big body, and he's not afraid to use it, so... there'll be times, yeah, where we need that sort of aggression at the footy and the opposition, and we'll use it accordingly.
Has he shaken off those knee issues that he had?
Yeah, he's moving beautifully. To be honest, he hasn't. Before Christmas and last year, he took a job up in Young in New South Wales on a farm. So he's been working full-time up there, and we've been in constant communication. And it was only just recently that he decided to come back on a full-time basis. So, you know, up until sort of Christmas time, we weren't sure whether we were going to have him back during the week or whether he was just going to come down and have a game on a Saturday. Yeah. But he'd always committed to playing with us. But, yeah, we just weren't sure of the circumstances. But now he's back full time and he's working locally again. And, we're wrapped to have him back at training and things like that and running the show. And Ethan Floyd will be his vice captain. So it's a very young captain and vice captain.
Absolutely.
And we'll have Alex Gubbins, Brad McKenzie, Lee Ellis, Dave Tucker, and Bailey Carl as the rest of the leadership group. So we've got a 7-man leadership group there, and there's a good mix of sort of older guys and some younger guys amongst them. So we think they'll do a great job for us.
Fantastic. Foss, great to have you come in and have a chat. Really do enjoy talking footy with it. It's always a lot of fun. I reckon our conversations during the year, the off-the-record ones last a lot longer than the on-the-record ones when we get on the phone. And it's good to have you come in and speak in this extended format and give us some thoughts on how Winchelsea will perform in 2021. You're an intriguing footy club. You've been thereabouts for 2 or 3 years. And I think if you're the neutral local football supporter, I think people want to see Winch being part of finals action because it doesn't happen too often in recent years. And I think having the Navy Blue run around out at St Albans would be great for not only the town but also for local football, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Key. I think the Winchelsea locals would love to see that too, otherwise I might be out the door.
Hopefully we're talking in 2022.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks for listening to this edition of KROQ Football's Coaches Catch Up. For other editions and the latest local news, head to krockfootball.com.au.